If you would be seated, take your Bibles to the 23rd Psalm. Again, we're going to take just one phrase from that this evening. All through the summer, we're going to be spending our time together in that passage. Very familiar, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For You are with me, Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I want to take just that one little phrase that we have worked our way toward. He leads me in paths of righteousness. And spend some time with you on that tonight. This past week, we all had great news. As probably most of us watched this soccer team in Thailand being rescued from the cave. They spent almost 2 weeks down there. You remember the story. And finally, they were rescued when they had a group of divers who literally led them out one by one. And if you followed the news, what you noticed was that many of them could not swim. They didn't know how to swim. And so how are you going to swim over a mile, I think, under the water in order to get out? Here's what they did. If you take a look at this, you see the first diver who is carrying an oxygen tank. And then there is a tether. There's a rope. And then there is a second diver back behind. That's how they managed to rescue them one by one. One diver on each side. They found their way to safety because they were led along the right path. And that's what David says to us here in this passage of Scripture. God leads us as His children throughout life. And He leads us in these paths of righteousness. And what's key and what's critical for us to understand here is we have to do exactly what they did. We have to stay tethered to Him. We have to stay tied to Him. We have to stay connected to our leader if we're going to be able to stay on the right path. I don't know if you've ever been in a cave and you've actually spent some time wandering through there. I'm kind of fascinated by that. I've done it a number of times during the course of the years. Never underwater. But I have been through a number of different caves. And the interesting thing is this. There are all kinds of dead ends. There are all kinds of twists and turns and places that will never lead you out. They just lead in the wrong direction. And all it would have taken to lose one or more of these young boys is for the one who was guiding them to lead them along the wrong path. And so when David says to us here in this passage of Scripture that he leads us in a path of righteousness, he's talking about the work of God in our life. As we stay connected to Him and as we walk with Him, and there are just as many dangerous twists and turns in our world as there are in the caves, aren't there? We can take the wrong path very, very easily. A book I referenced a couple of weeks ago titled A Shepherd Looks at the 23rd Psalm, a fellow by the name of Philip Keller tells us this. He says, a shepherd leads his sheep. You drive cattle. Evidently, you don't drive sheep. They're very skittish. They're easily spooked. They're very temperamental. And so if you try and drive them, and then they panic and they scatter. And many times they can even hurt themselves. Instead, the shepherd leads the way. And they choose to follow him along the path so that they end up in the right place. So tonight I want to think with you for just a few moments about how God leads us in the path of righteousness. When you think about that, there's two different ways to think about this path of righteousness. You can think about the character of the path, or you can talk about the end result of the path. And I think David is probably referencing both. When you think about the character of the path or the kind of path God leads His people on, we could translate that the right path or a straight path or a straight path or a correct path. There are a lot of paths that aren't straight paths, right? There are a lot of paths that don't end up in the right place. There are paths that are not safe at all. Those are the kind of paths many times that we choose for ourselves. Here's what the Bible says in the book of Proverbs. It says, there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof leads to death, or the end thereof leads to destruction. left to our own devices, left to our own perspective, left to our own decision-making skills sometimes, we would go along the entirely wrong path. And yet when we are traveling with Him, when we're tethered to the Lord, when we're connected to Him, He leads us along the right kind of path, the straight path, the safe path. But then there's also a way that you could read this. This is, it talks about the destination of the path. God leads us along a path that leads to the right end result. He leads us along the path of righteousness, holiness, or purity, or right living, the word would be translated. Ultimately, what He wants to do is He wants to lead us to Himself. So when David says to us that the Lord leads us in paths of righteousness, what he's saying to us is this. He's saying that God leads us on the right path. He leads us on the straight path. He leads us on a safe path. He leads us on a path that ultimately brings us to Himself. Just like those Navy SEALs led the children to safety, guiding them along the right path to the right destination, God wants to do that in our life, but we have to stay connected to Him. Can you imagine what it would have been like if one of those boys had managed somehow in that cave to have that tether separated from the diver? What would it be like to be swimming, walking in darkness, not knowing the right path, not knowing the right destination, not having someone to lead you along the way? That's, in fact, how some people choose to live their life. They're not connected to the Lord. They're not tethered to Him. They're not in touch with Him. And they're making decisions and they're walking along a path that has no relationship with Him. So here's the question. How does God lead us? How do we stay connected to Him? How practically, if He's going to lead us in a path of righteousness, how do we keep that tether connected? So that we are in the right path, we are going in the right direction, we do end up in the right destination. There's a great series, I don't know if you've ever seen it, it's called Experiencing God, written by a fellow by the name of Henry Blackaby. It's fantastic material. And here's what he says. He said, God speaks by the Holy Spirit through the Bible, prayer, circumstances, and the church to reveal Himself, His purposes, and His ways. And so what he's done for us there is he's identified five different ways that God speaks to us. Five different ways that we stay connected, tethered to the Lord. God speaks by the Holy Spirit. There's number one. Through the Bible. Through prayer. Through circumstances and the church. To reveal Himself, His purposes, and His ways. So let's take those one at a time very quickly tonight. And let's just spend a few moments thinking about how God does that in our life. The first thing that he says is God speaks through the Holy Spirit. That's that still, small voice that we've been talking about each of these weeks that we've gathered together. That's the title of our series, Still Waters. It talks about what happened when Elijah was out on the mountainside and the earthquake came and the wind came and the firestorm came, and the Spirit was not in any of those, but He was in that still, small voice. And this past fall when we had Dr. Black here with us, and he was teaching about that, I love the way that he expressed it. I'd never heard anyone say it anymore. He says, when the Holy Spirit speaks to us, it's not typically with an audible verse, a voice, but it's actually more profound than that. It's that inner feeling, that inner conviction, that inner inclination that tilts us in a particular direction. Jesus taught us that in John chapter 16. He said, but He, when the Spirit of truth comes, will guide you into all truth. So God speaks to us by the indwelling Holy Spirit. Yes, sometimes we can mishear. Yes, sometimes we think it's God, but it's not. But the more closely we stay connected to Him, the more familiar we are with His voice, the easier it is for us to recognize. It's good that I'm going away, Jesus said, because I'm going to send a counselor to you, a Holy Spirit, and He will lead you and He will guide you into all truth. He lives within us. He's that link between our heart and God. If you go back to that picture that we looked at earlier, there was that tether line. The Holy Spirit is the tether line between my heart and the heart of God. The Holy Spirit who lives within me, who will never be taken away from me, keeps my heart in tune with the heart of God. And as I give Him free rein in my life, and listen for Him and submit to Him, then He leads me in paths of righteousness. He helps me understand the Bible. He gives me guidance. He speaks to me when I pray. He helps me understand what I need to do when I ask for help. Those are all a function of the Holy Spirit, the counselor who comes and lives in our heart. And the more time we spend with Him, the more open we are to Him, the more we listen to Him, the more we'll be able to recognize His voice. God also speaks to us through prayer. Now, prayer for us is quite often talking, right? But prayer shouldn't always be talking. Sometimes prayer should be listening. I think it was last week or the week before, a good friend of mine was here, and some of you met him, Rick Amato. He was here that night, and he came back again on Sunday morning. And he and I were talking a few weeks ago, and he said, I won't get it exactly right, but he said something to this effect. He said, Dennis, I've spent over 40 years praying. I've been a believer. I've been a walking with Jesus for 40 years. He said, I spent 40 years praying, and it finally occurred to me just a little while ago that I don't know anything. And I've been praying for 40 years, and I've been doing all the talking, and I've not been listening to the one who knows everything. I know nothing, and I do all the talking, and the one who knows everything, I never gave him a chance to get a word in edgewise. So when we pray, we should be speaking, talking, but we should also pause to listen to what God has to say to us. In Jeremiah chapter 29, the scripture says this. It says, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Tomorrow morning, Psalm 40. I'm going to be preaching that passage of scripture. It's a beautiful, beautiful image. And then just listen to the first verse. If you look at it in the original language, it says this. It said, waiting, I waited for the Lord. He repeats the word. It's like, you know, how much more does he have to say it to us? I'm just going to sit here and wait on you, God. Waiting, I waited. Our language, our translations mostly only use one of those two words because it doesn't read very well. They're trying to smooth it out, but David is making a point in that song. And then he said this, listen. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he turned to me and he heard my cry. That word can be translated turned, but more often than not, here's what it is. It means to lean over and listen. I trained originally as a teacher, and I went into, in my student internship days back in college, I went into a couple of different age groups to do my student teaching. And one of them, I was in a first and second grade class. And one of the teachers that was working with me gave me some of the best advice I've ever had in working with children. I was in there for about 30 minutes, and she called me to the side, and she said, Dennis, she said, let me help you a little bit. She said, you need to see things from the children's point of view. They don't know you, and you are a really big person in relationship to them. So when you speak to them, one of the things that you should do is you should just get down on their level. You should bend over and listen to what they have to say. Here's what David says to us in Psalm 40 and verse 1. He said, I waited on the Lord, and he leaned over to hear what I had to say. Isn't that a beautiful picture for what God does for us? I came in tonight, and one of the children who had been in a little bit earlier before the service, he managed to knock something off the wall, and he had broken one of the little glass pieces up here. And brokenhearted, he came in and he said, Pastor Dennis, I broke one of the glasses. And I could see him coming my way, and Jeff and Eileen had already told me that. And so when he came over, what I did was I got down on his level, and I just sat down on the chair and let him explain to me what had happened. And I said, you know what? Mistakes happen. It's okay. I've got more of them in the back. Isn't that what God does with us? When we cry out to Him, He gets down on our level and He looks at us when we confess our sins and He says, mistakes happen. It's okay. That's why my son died. I waited on the Lord. I called out to Him. I cried out to Him. And He leaned over to hear what I had to say. Prayer is absolutely one of the ways that God speaks to us. He speaks to us through the Bible. Here's what the psalmist wrote, Psalm 119. He says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path." God uses the Bible to reveal His will for us as well. Now, sometimes you would think that would be a lot easier than it is. There are some passages that are just so clear and so easy to understand. You can read them and it says, do this or don't do that. And that part is easy. It's the ones in the middle, or it's the times when we think we hear something from God. And I'm convinced that God sometimes will look at us and He's like, I didn't say that. Where did that come from? I didn't say that. Many of you know that a fellow by the name of George Whitefield from the 1600s, 1700s was a great, great preacher. One of the greatest preachers that ever lived. One of the men that God used tremendously in the first and second Great Awakening. And he was a man who was committed to the Scripture. But even a man like that, even this great man of God, this amazing preacher, this great leader, made some mistakes reading the Bible sometime. His wife was expecting. And he had a newborn son. He was reading a passage of Scripture. A passage of Scripture predicting John the Baptist coming. And he was convinced that God said to him that his son was going to be like John the Baptist. He was going to be a great preacher, and he was going to turn many, many hearts to the Lord. Well, you can understand the desire of a father's heart who would want something like that. And so he really believed when he read that passage that God spoke to him, and God said that was going to happen. And his son did not make his first birthday. And George Whitefield actually came back and he said, you know, it wasn't God speaking to me. It was my own heart and my own desire. Many times, the Bible is very clear. Many times, it's very, very easy to understand. Sometimes, though, we read into it and we find what we want. See, when we have this combination of the Holy Spirit living within and we're submitted to Him, and we're engaged with the Lord in prayer, and when we open our Bible and we say to Him, God, will You show me in here today what You have for me through the power of Your Holy Spirit? It was much more likely that we will be able to hear and discern correctly what God is saying to us. Sometimes He speaks to us through circumstances. These are the opportunities or the open doors, the coincidences or the serendipities that come our way. God sometimes uses those, and He makes it very clear that it's He that is working. I was in Cuba a couple of years ago, and someone said to me, my friend that I was traveling with said, I want to introduce you to the person who was the foundation of the church in this entire end of the island. And he told me the story. A pastor was being moved to a city to plant a new church. And so he contacted the local government officials and he said to them, I want to come in, I want to make an appointment, I want to meet with you, I want to explain to you what I'm going to do and ask for your permission and ask for your help in starting these churches in this end of the island. And he was on the way to meet with that individual when his bicycle broke down. And he was so frustrated because he went, I don't know how you break a bicycle down, but he managed to do that. He was so frustrated because he said, I'm going to miss the meeting. I'm going to miss the opportunity to start these churches and to make an impact on this end of the island. And so he pulled his bicycle under the tree and he turned it over and he's working on it. He's trying to get it fixed. And this little old lady, I met her, she's about this tall, came out and she said to him, could I offer you a glass of water? And she did. And in the process of talking with her and explaining to her what was going on, he expressed his frustration about, you know, needing a place to start a church. And he was going to go ask for a place to start a church. And now he wasn't going to be able to start a church. And she looked at him and what did she say to him? You can already know the end of the story. Why? Why don't you start a church here in my house? And that was the beginning of many, many, many different churches that were planted on that end of the island. And what the pastor thought was a bad circumstance, was God engineering exactly what He wanted to introduce this pastor to a person of peace that would open the door and the opportunity. Sometimes, though, it's not God leading. Sometimes the door looks to be open to us and we shouldn't go through it. Paul said that to us over in Corinthians. He said, I went to Troas and I was going to preach, I was going to teach, and the door of opportunity was open, but I just didn't feel like I should go there, and so I turned around and I left. You see, the critical part is having enough of a relationship with the Lord that He can express to us what we need to hear. And we can hear it and listen and submit to it. Finally, He speaks to us through others. We're created and called into community. In our culture, A lot of times we think of our faith as very private and very personal, and it is. But it is more than private and personal. We are called into community. We're called into the life of a church. Much of what God wants to do in us, He often does through that, through others who impact us. The reality is that God's chosen method of work in our world is through His church. Think about it this way. Almost every one of those verses in the New Testament that we memorize and speak of, other than the Gospels, are letters that were written to a church, to a body of believers. God leads us. He doesn't leave us at our own devices. He leads us through the Holy Spirit dwelling within, through prayer, through His Word. He leads us through circumstances sometimes, and He leads us through the community of faith. And so my question to you tonight is, what is it that God would want to say to you? See, here's what I'm convinced. I'm convinced that not a single one of us is going to die and go to heaven and stand before the Lord, and He's going to look at me and He's going to say to me, you know, Dennis, you're in trouble because there was something that I wanted you to do and you didn't do it. And I'm going to look at Him and go, I didn't know. See, when He wants us to serve Him, to make an impact and a difference in our world, He makes it very, very clear to us, if we're listening, if we'll pay attention. So let me encourage you, if you would, to bow your head, close your eyes, and just listen for a moment. As Jeff and Eileen come back and prepare to lead us in communion tonight, ask yourself, what is it, Lord, that you're leading me to do tonight? Jesus said it this way. He said, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I want you to listen for that still small voice within for the next few moments, and then we'll come back as we prepare for communion. Father, we confess to you tonight our need for you to lead us and guide us. Lord, your Holy Spirit lives within us. We never have to pray as David did, Lord, don't take your Spirit from me. Because once our heart was bound to yours through the shed blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, we are sealed by the gift of your Holy Spirit. And you live and dwell within us forever. Father, I pray tonight that you would give us the wisdom to allow your Spirit free reign in our heart, in our mind, in our spirit. Teach us to listen and hear. And Lord, teach us to listen in prayer. To not just fill our time with words. So many words, so much sound, that we can't hear you when you do speak. God, teach us to sit in silence and listen. God, teach us to read your word. We confess to you that many times it becomes a textbook, a proof text, a point of interest, a history story, rather than the living Word of God that brings conviction and it guides us if we will but listen. God, help us to see your hand at work around us. Your word is full of men and women of faith who you have worked the circumstances such that you placed them right where you wanted them to accomplish your perfect will. God, they were wise enough to see it and in tune and touch with you enough to recognize what you were doing. And God, teach us to love the church the way that Jesus does. The one who gave himself for her. God, teach us to value other people in faith community. Remind us that we're not lone rangers. We were created for community. Tonight, as we celebrate communion, from a common loaf, together, we're reminded that we are one in you. Paul said, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you." The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread and broke it. When he had given thanks, he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And after supper, he took a cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." As we come to the Lord's table, we're reminded that he told us, "I am the bread of life." Apart from him, we do not have spiritual life. In him, we have the life eternal.